Well, I was going to start with part two to continue on what we were talking about last week in words. And I kept the direction I kept wanting to go. Did you ever pick up a wheelbarrow of concrete and try to move it it's hard. It's struggle. And that's what it was like. Till finally I said, okay, I'll just start following what you want because I wasn't going anywhere. And so you'll see where it changes. And so I'm going to deliver to you.
Amen.
Amen. So, but anyhow, the Bar Shalom to all of you this morning. Yes, yes. Okay, so you can open up to Daniel chapter 10. I don't know why I had to tell you all that, but I did. Daniel chapter 10. We're going to read verses 11 and 12. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For I have now been sent to you. While he was still speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, Daniel, do not be afraid. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. I have come because of your words. I have come because of your words. God will be coming for our words as well. Words are powerful. And they can bring about a lot of change on the earth for us. God comes to our aid when we use our mouths to speak words. But not just any words. So our words have to be words of faith. Our decrees and declarations that we write are good, but they lack power if not spoken out loud. God responds to words of faith. What moves God is faith. He designed his kingdom to work by faith, but to work by faith in him. So we needed faith to receive him when we were born again, and then to receive from him from that point on. It took faith. He has set his kingdom up based on his wisdom, not what you would think, not what any man thinks, but on God's wisdom. And we have to work within the principles that he sets up in his kingdom. The one thing we must realize is that God is not moved by need. God already knows everything that you need. You know what I said? He knows everything that you need. He even knows your wants. But see, we want the wants before we get the needs. And that's why so many of us get into financial problems too. Just give him, don't shoot the delivery boy. That's all I got to say. You know? So the thing that moves God is our faith. Our faith and trust in him. God meets our needs through our seeds of faith in him and in his word. See, we shouldn't have to go 1 minute without our needs being met. to be confident knowing that our needs are going to be met. If you don't have that confidence, it means you're weak in faith. I get an amen there?
Yeah.
That means you're not trusting Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways know, recognize, and acknowledge Him. Amen. And He'll make your pathway straight and plain. It means He'll take care of you. Because we know without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That is Hebrews 11:6. We read that so many times because you need it repeated. You need it repeated. Without God, it is impossible to please Him. How do we please God? I'm going to say, okay, there you go. Is it that hard? How do you please God? With faith. With faith you please Him. See, and it says He is a rewarder. And the Bible dictionary definition for rewarder, oh, this is really deep. One who rewards. One who rewards. You know, rewarder is used only one time in our Bible. And this is it. And it's used to describe God. He is a rewarder. But what's the rest of Scripture say? Of those who diligently seek Him. You see, we have to be diligent to be rewarded by God. So it should be no surprise that diligence is going to be required in order for us to succeed in every sphere of life. It's just a fact that a lazy, neglectful attitude will never get us where we need to go.
Come on.
If we take our life assignment lightly, if we approach it with a casual, easygoing, take it easy, relaxed attitude, we'll never go far in the fulfillment of our call or dream. Live like a slug, and you'll eat dirt the rest of your life. Not hard. Mm-hmm. If we are serious about succeeding in life, we will have to adjust our level of commitment and give our full attention to what God has called us to do. What God has called you to do. A lot of you are starting to think, well, I'm not involved. It's not talking about you having to be a pastor or be an elder. It's what you're called to do in whatever capacity it is. If he called, M. Jackson? He called him at what? He's a brain surgeon. He's a neurosurgeon. And he operates on people's brains. And he was a child. And God put a call on his life when he was a child. I'm talking in the formative years and in that 3 or 4 right around, and he wanted to know why his grandma was having to go through all these problems with what was going on in her brain, because that's what she had problems with the brain. And so he was at an infantility. He said, God, he said, what can I do? He said, you can become a neurosurgeon and operate on brains. He made that his. He said, okay, Lord, I'll do what you call me to do. At a child. That's what he does now.
Yeah.
It's what he does now. What is your calling? Where you're at? He's called you to whatever and wherever you're at. And from that point there, you work for him. Yeah, you work for the company, but you work for him through that company. It pays dividends for you. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Like I said, if we are serious about succeeding in life, we will have to adjust our level of commitment and give our full attention to what God has called us to do. See, it takes hard work to achieve any goal. And complaining about the hard work won't make it any easier, will it? No. So be consistent, be constant in your commitment. Refuse to relent. Stay stubborn and unbending, even in the face of opposition, until your objective is achieved. So Scripture tells us, let us not grow weary or become discouraged. For at the proper time we will reap if we do not give in. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Our consistency and determination will push the powers of hell aside and obtain victory. Obtain victory. The victory that each and every one of us desires. Yeah. Faith in saying with an unwavering heart moves the mountains in our lives. We know that because in Mark 11, 22, 23, Jesus says, have the God kind of faith.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Have the God kind of faith. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that these things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Have the God kind of faith. Our faith comes from God. Faith is the avenue God uses to bring salvation to his people. God gives faith because of his grace and mercy, because he loves us. God really loves us. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And what's his love got to do with anything?
Everything.
That's right. You think I was going to pass that up? No. See, it's a reminder, every song that we sing, sings about love. Love is important. Faith, hope, and love. Which one's the most powerful?
Love.
Love. What powers faith? Love. You're there? Okay, we're going to read verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead to trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Grace. Strong's 4585. Charis. And Strong's definition is the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. Okay, now the Bible definition of grace, which you'll probably say, okay, I understand it. The spontaneous, unmerited gift of the divine favor. Makes it different when it's divine favor. You get divine favor with him, and you will end up having divine favor with who you work with. And who you work for. Hallelujah. But you jump down to verse 8 there in Ephesians chapter 2. And we see that faith comes to us from God in the form of a gift. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. talking about faith here. It's a gift. A gift is not earned by some good deed or kind word. And it is not given because the giver expects a gift in return. See, under any of those circumstances, that gift would not be a gift. So our Bible emphasizes that faith is a gift because God deserves all the glory for our salvation. There's no other way. If the receiver of faith could do anything whatsoever to deserve or earn the gift, that person would have the right to boast. And the next verse says, you are not saved by the things you have done, so there is nothing to boast about. And you're probably looking at your New King James saying, that's not what it said. That's called the easy read version. But it's the same thing, but it just brings it down to our level so you can understand that. Okay, Tim, I don't know why I always think you when I am. Suppose someone anonymously sent you a check for $1 million. Okay, the money's yours if you want it. But you still have to endorse the check. In no way can signing your name be considered earning the $1 million. The endorsement is a non-work. The $1 million was simply a gift. Amen. You can never boast about being a millionaire through sheer effort or your own business savvy. Wow. Signing your name was the only way to receive that $1 million. Simply exercising faith here is very similar. And when you do that, your exercise of faith is only the way that you can receive the generous gift of God. And faith cannot be considered a work worthy of the gift. Did you get that? By knowing our saving faith comes from God alone, see, that should encourage us not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. But remember, God decides the measure of faith each one receives. And how do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is God's Word that produces faith. See, someone could receive faith while hearing a sermon teaching the gospel. Someone else could read about Jesus in the Bible. Anytime the true gospel of Jesus is communicated, there is the potential for faith. This is why it is so very, very important for believers everywhere to be obedient to the Great Commission. Go ye therefore, and to tell what Christ has done for them personally and for all of humanity. Because what he did for you, he will do for them. You know, I'm going to tell you this right here now. This past week, my nephew came up to see me, him and his girlfriend. And they stopped in the office and talking. And he says, you know, we're talking. He says, and I asked him a question after, because I could see the way the both of them were talking. And I pulled my computer screen out because I wanted to look at both of them. As I knew this was the time, God, the Holy Spirit told me, now is Michael's time. And the reason I say that, because Well, let me go on with this. He, when we were talking, and then I asked him point blank, ever accepted Jesus Christ into their heart? And, they both, and Michael said, I think, and that's the way he was going. He was really going back and forth with that. So I looked at his girlfriend, and I said, well, and she just looked at me, she said, I don't know. I said, you don't know what? What are you waiting on? And they both looked at me. So I went on to explain what God did with me and how things changed. I just told them about my story, about my life, and things we talked about. Cut it, make it a little shorter. Both of them confessed Christ as their Lord and Savior. And the reason it touches my heart so much is my nephew came back from Germany, being in the service. And when he came back, shortly after he was back, some things were going on, and he kept coming over to my house. And we're talking close to 30 years ago. And we were in my kitchen. And him and I were talking, and I looked at him and I said, I asked Mike if he'd like to accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior. You know what he told me? No, let's not talk about that. That has stuck with me all these years. And for him to confess Christ in my office with his girlfriend and both of them, I'm just telling you, it was the greatest. I mean, and just as what we've been saying, the teaching of the prodigal, Dean, how your family's blessed because the saving that it's going through. And I've got one more. I got one more.
Yeah.
And he thinks I'm going to relent from going after him. He's crazy. I'm not. But it was just a perfect opportunity. And God will let you know the Holy Spirit ministered. But it's why I was my, the Great Commission there for us. And I know there's family. We can go after their family members. And if you don't, somebody else is going to get them for you. You just keep watering the seed. Once it's planted, you just keep watering it. And you keep watering it in faith.
Yeah.
In faith. Have the God kind of faith. Hallelujah. Faith is not the product of a preacher's compelling presentation, his elegance, or even his theological soundness. Faith is given through the message of Jesus Christ. This is the means God has chosen. No other way. Now, as with any gift from God, it's our responsibility to exercise and use the gift, and not to be complacent, lazy, or apathetic. Because in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will for each and every one of us in Christ. Amen? So that should bring comfort and peace to our mind, knowing that our faith is from God, because he has said he will finish the good work he started. Philippians 1, verse 6 of the New Living Translation. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished.
Amen.
On the day when Christ returns. What God starts, he finishes. God, who began a good work in us, continues it throughout our lifetime and will finish it when we meet Him face to face. That's called sanctification. God's work for us began when Jesus died on the cross in our place. It began the moment we first believed. That's when justification was in. Justification had happened before sanctification. We were made righteous. Then after that, that faith got you to that level. Now it's faith that's going to carry you through the sanctification process. That's not as hard as you think. You know, we make it hard because we look at it through man's vision. Look at it through God's perspective. Look at it the way Jesus looks at it. Let's follow His pattern. Let's say and do what He says. Because if you need anything, He knows what you need. And when we go to the Father, because He is the main supply, that's like Jesus said, hey, bro, go out there and go fishing. Get us some money out of that fish's mouth so we can pay the tax. You know? Jesus was never poor. He don't want any of you being poor either. That's why you got to pray that He gives you wisdom in handling your finances. You know? This is a time of the year that I know that it's the holiday season. And everybody's, well, they want to buy gifts. They want to buy presents. I'm going to give the gift of Jesus Christ. Yeah. See, put it in a proper perspective. And God will lead him, but you don't have to overspend. Your love will be seen in what you get. It's not how much you get or give in that respect for presents. It's showing and being thankful. See, God's taught us that, to be thankful. We just had the Thanksgiving season, a time of thanksgiving to our Lord and Savior and to our God, and who gave us Holy Spirit dwelling in us. God in us. Whew. You know, the Holy Spirit is alive and in us. And He enables us to be more like Jesus. Rely on the Holy Spirit, not on yourself. Get it off of you.
Amen.
And give it to Him. Do some of you sometimes feel as though you aren't making any progress in your spiritual life? Remember, when God starts a project, He completes it. God will help us to grow in grace until He has completed His work in our life. When feeling discouraged, always remember, God won't give up on you.
Amen.
How do I know that? Oh, brother, you're going to go to the Message Bible for this one. The Message Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 7 and 9. The Message Bible. Just think. You don't need a thing. You've got it all. All God's gifts are right in front of you as you wait patiently for our Messiah, Jesus, the Master, to arrive on the scene for the finale. And not only that, but God Himself is right alongside to help you stead and stay on track until things are all wrapped up by Jesus. God, who got you started in this spiritual adventure, shares with us the life of His Son and our Master Jesus. He will never give up on you.
Yeah.
Never forget that. That's the Message Bible. He will never give up on you. Never.
I will not. I will not. I will not.
That was the scripture I wanted you to say, my brother. Praise God, that's Holy Ghost. Woo, yeah. That's it, my brother. You're right on cue. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He promised to finish the work he has begun. When feeling incomplete, unfinished, and distressed by shortcomings, remember God's provision of, or his promise of provision. In 1 Peter 1, verses 8 and 9, you have never seen Jesus, but still you love him. You do not see him now, but you believe in him. As a result, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Don't let your present conditions rob you of the joy of knowing Christ or keeping you from growing closer to him. We draw closer to him in our faith as we trust in him more each day. And how does faith come?
By hearing.
And hearing by the word of God. It takes a daily intake of reading God's word to maintain and to grow our faith. Because once you plant your seed of faith, a little mustard seed, you plant it. You ever see that, big that thing can grow? Whoa! Because you got to keep watering it, though. You keep watering it by faith. You planted that seed, you just keep watering it. Well, I don't see it yet. You just keep watering it. It'll grow. It will grow. Your confidence level will grow. You will start to see it through your spiritual eyes, not through your natural eyes. And then next thing you know, you're going to turn around. You're going to say, well, there it is. It'll come to pass. It will come to pass. Don't grow weary. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. How are we to run? The race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And we are seated along with him. Now the Greek word for witnesses is the origin of the word martyr, which means testifiers, witnesses. These witnesses bear testimony to the power of faith and to God's faithfulness. This is right after you read the faith chapter in Hebrews 11. These are the witnesses. These are the martyrs. These are the testifiers. The Christian life is pictured as a long marathon rather than a sprint or even a 5K. Just as a runner concentrates on the finish line, we should concentrate on Jesus, the goal and objective of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. Because in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, Paul writes. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Here it is, verse 14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Our faith, which has its beginnings in Him, is also completed in Him. He is the start and He is the end of the race. And He is the supreme witness who has already run the race and overcome the world. And how do we overcome the world? You got it. It is by faith, our faith right there. You got to speak it. You got to speak it. See, He is the finisher. Did He not say it from the cross? It is finished. So we need to consistently focus on Jesus instead of our circumstances. See, Jesus has done everything necessary for us to endure in our faith. When our faith is in Him, we will be able to endure. I'm not saying you're not going to get attacked. But you'll be stronger. Yeah. You heard what that decree just talked about. We don't have to ask why. We already know why. Because we're being weak in faith. And we're not speaking. We're not speaking to the mountains. We're not speaking to the problems. You got to speak it. And you speak words of faith. For it is written. And take it out. Take that two-edged sword out. Start swinging it. Watch things just be chopped down to size. Amen? He is our example and model. For He focused on the joy. Joy that was set before Him. His attention was not on the agonies of the cross, but on the crown. Not on the sufferings, but on the reward. If He would not have done what He did, we were lost. We were lost. In fact, that's the fact of the matter, where it gets to. We are to walk by faith for our breakthroughs. Live by faith before He even moves. See, in this world, we must stand in faith with eyes on Him. 1 Timothy 4:7, last scripture. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Every time that I read that verse, my spirit just jumps. Because if we keep the faith, everything is ours. If you keep the faith, everything is ours. And that there is so full of divine revelation that it exceeds the mind of man. Because there are just no limits to what faith can do. Faith accesses the power of God. And His power is endless. There's no power grids. There's no. He generates the power. We just got to tap into it. He generates healing. He generates it through those who are willing to be used and impart it too. And if you're wanting it, all you got to do is reach out to Jesus. You pray to Him. Just as a woman prayed and she believed, she touched. Well, you can believe and reach out and say, I'm touching that tassel. Lord, I'm touching that tassel, my Savior. Because I know that's where my healing comes in. through him. And as you reach out and you're touching and you're believing that you're extending it, and with your eyes closed, picture it and see it, touch it. Healing will manifest in your bodies if you do not doubt and do not waver. And you can do it. I'm telling you, you can do it. Everything is possible with God. Nothing is impossible for our God. Nothing. You have the God kind of faith. It's a gift. He gave you a gift. He gave you faith. It's what you purpose to use it for and how you want to use it. When you don't exercise your faith, nothing's going to happen. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
And I'm going to quit right there. And I thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.